Acts 16 in your Bibles. Acts 16. We're going to begin reading in verse 16. And we're going to read down through, God willing, down through verse number 24. Acts 16, 16 to verse 24. I'll read verse 16 and then you join with me. Please, on every other verse, ending in verse number 24. Acts 16, 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them. The magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. When they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. And you could read 24, please, with me. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. We want the Lord to bless the reading of his word. I'll pray, and then you may be seated. Heavenly Father, again, thank you for the privilege of having your word, but also having your Spirit as believers indwelling us to teach us and show us truth from the Word of God. We need that again today. We need it every day. We need it more than once a day even. And so please, God, take your Word, and may our hearts be prepared, as we heard even earlier somewhere along the line today about having good soil. I pray that our hearts would be in that condition right now, to accept your word and there be fruit from it. We pray, Lord, if there's anyone listening here or online that's not saved, oh God, I pray today they would not delay any longer. And today they would humble themselves and be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. We'll let you be seated. We have one word today as the theme of the message. One word, and that is the word opposition. Opposition. The church has had an amazing journey. If you've been following along, many of you online, I hope that you've been following along as we've preached most of the series in Acts in these recent days. But the church has experienced so much, all the way back to the beginning of its existence in the sense of physically speaking location. It started in what city? Where did it start? Who remembers? Jerusalem. Jerusalem. But it did go to Antioch eventually. That's right. It started in Jerusalem. And remember the Great Commission, right? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost, right? Well, right now, that's where they've now done all of that. They've done Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost. And now they're in Philippi, as we've been talking about, if you remember that. But they were wanting to move into Asia. But God hindered them, but it eventually would make its way there to Asia Minor specifically. So last week we started chapter 16. We began there, there was just a lot happening there, and it was kind of a unique thing, wasn't it? You remember that? It was that song, Down by the River. You know, that's where they started this church, really, as they came into the city, and they found that there were a group of ladies that were meeting for prayer. Amen for ladies that are praying. We need that today, don't we? And I hope you're praying whether you're a lady or not, but we thank the Lord for the ladies that are praying. And Philippi, a little bit about Philippi, and I think I covered a little bit this, but not all of it. It was a Roman colony, and they would call these Roman colonies Little Rome, Little Rome. The reason why they did that is because they practiced all the customs and all the laws and tried to be very religious in that way, so to speak. Not really religious, but staying with it. And we also discovered last week that more than likely there were not many Jews in Philippi. And the reason we discover that is because there was no synagogue. And I was doing some reading about that. You needed 10 men to have a synagogue. So that means there weren't even 10 Jewish men in the city. And then as we read our text today, we kind of see that even more is in the forefront because the accusations that were made against Paul and Silas, one of those was attacking them for being Jews. So again, the theme word today is opposition. Opposition. The church had it in the first century, and the church has it in the 21st century. Opposition is not a new concept. But we're going to see as we look through this a little bit more here today. So this prayer meeting begins a church is established out of it, and it's the church at Philippi. Maybe it was Philippi Baptist Church. I don't think so. But anyway, it was a church in Philippi there started, and Lydia was the first convert, and we read about that last week, and she was a great example of faith. In fact, she would immediately follow the Lord in believers' baptism, and then she would even have them come and live with her in her home and stay with her and take care of Paul and Silas and others. And as though is the case in other places of the book of Acts, all of this momentum, spiritual momentum, now runs into a brick wall. It's the brick wall of opposition. And that's okay, because here's what I've discovered, and I'm not Paul and Silas, but I'm little old me, and in 20 years, I can tell you this, that as soon as you get some spiritual momentum and you get some things happening for the Lord, a wall is coming. That doesn't mean that you were scared of it, but we want to have some spiritual discernment, enough to know that we're going, and get ready, a wall's coming. There's going to be some opposition. The devil is not happy with anyone or anybody that's preaching the gospel. The devil's not happy with men that want to be godly. In a society today that really is demeaning the idea of manhood, the devil is not happy with someone. And by the way, man, being a man doesn't mean being a dictator. Being a man means being humble, speaking the truth in love, standing on the word of God, etc., etc. So anyway, here's a quote. Whenever God's servants move into an area where Satan has a hold, you can count on opposition and persecution. Satan is the prince and power of the air. Satan would love to take everybody to hell with him. Thankfully, that's not going to happen. There's people that he has a grip on today, and I'm glad that we have the way with the Holy Spirit of God and the power of the Word of God, as these men did, to break the grip through the preaching and teaching of God's Word. I would submit to you as we get into this outline, as disciples of Jesus Christ, it is important that we be vigilant. That we be vigilant. You know, the first thing I see in this text, number one, is the opposition to prayer. The opposition to prayer. The Bible says here, as we went to prayer. Now that just really, that kind of stops me in my tracks, doesn't it? Can you relate to this? Oh, you say, I've never had a girl come out of nowhere and saying all this stuff, like exactly. But can you not relate as a believer to opposition in prayer? Can you relate to the enemy wanting to give you every reason why you don't have time to pray? And every reason why, let's pray later, let's do something else, or, you know, somebody else can do the praying, and somebody else can do that, and I want to submit to you today, I don't know what thing you can do for somebody better than praying for them. I don't know what it is. You say, I could give them $1 million. That may not be what they need. That may be the worst thing that they need. But I know the best thing you can do for anyone is pray for them. So there's going to be opposition when we go to prayer. And that's exactly what happened here. Paul and his team of group, his leaders and group servants were living with Lydia and her family at the time. And of course, they met Lydia at a prayer meeting. And now they're on their way to do the same thing. They meet a slave girl that is possessed with a devil. I don't know about you, but it's interesting. The first two people that God's Spirit emphasizes in Philippi are ladies. One is Lydia and one is an unnamed lady possessed of a devil. I find those things interesting. Both of them are on opposite ends of the spiritual journey, so to speak, but both of them God is greatly concerned about. By the way, if you look at the book of Acts, we won't do it right now, but in the last chapter of the book of Acts, and I know it's Father's Day, but in the last chapter of the book of Acts, Paul lists a group of people that worked with him. Eight of them were ladies. We need godly women too, amen? We need godly ladies. The emphasis here, the church that Paul maybe liked the most, I don't know if he was partial to it or not, but he had a great affection for the church at Philippi. Opposition to prayer. There is no liberty. This woman, possessed of a devil, has no liberty. She is bound. There is no liberty for anyone apart from a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. No liberty at all. Every lost person has the same Father. You've ever heard someone say, well, we're all God's children? You've ever heard anybody say that? Well, it's not true. We're not all God's children. Would you go with me in your Bibles to John 8 and mark this verse if you haven't marked it? Mark this verse and you don't say it to somebody with glee in your eye. We say it to somebody with a tear in our eye, right? With a broken heart. Because that lie is perpetrated that, oh, we're all God's children. We're all going to heaven. You have your way. I have my way. No, I don't have my way. If we're honest, our way leads to hell. It's God's way that leads to heaven. Not Pastor Turner's way. Not the Baptist's way. Look what it said in John 8 and 44. Jesus speaking said, ye are of your father the devil. Ye are of your father the devil. And on this Father's Day, we have two fathers in the spiritual world. We have God the Father and we have the devil. Jesus said, you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Ye are of your father the devil. Ladies and gentlemen, today we have a young lady here in this story that has no liberty. She has no freedom. But can I tell you today, all over this community, while they might not be oppressed or possessed quite like this lady was, we have people that are walking to work and headed to work and headed to school, and they are in the same situation. Their father is the devil. And they have no liberty. They're on their way to a crisis eternity. And we have the answer. Maybe you're here today and everybody thinks you're saved, but you're not. Maybe you're online joining us and you're not saved. I want to tell you today, as lovingly as I can, you need to cut ties with your father, the devil. And you need to accept by faith and humbly accept by faith the gift that your heavenly Father wants you to have through his Son, Jesus Christ. Can I say people are praying for you to be saved today? You're on somebody's prayer list today. You're on somebody's prayer list today. You have people on your prayer list today. Don't stop praying for him. The lost today are slaves to the devil, just like this girl. This precious girl. Somebody's daughter. Somebody's sister, maybe. Somebody's cousin, maybe. Somebody's friend. And she's just a pawn right here in our text. A pawn in the hand of the devil. These wicked men that are using her for gain. It all comes back to the devil. You know, Satan uses every means to thwart or stop. It means the word thwart. To thwart the work of God. He cares nothing about you. He cares nothing about me. He cares nothing about your children. And if he can, he'll use your children to thwart the work of God. He'll take your wife and use her to thwart the work of God. He'll take you, husband, to thwart the work of God. Satan wants to do and everything. He say, I'm saved. Yeah, that he can't have your soul, but he can still bring me or you down just like that. He's way more powerful than I am. I'm no match for the enemy. You're no match for him in the flesh. Oh, but thanks be to God, we can have great power through the Word of God. We can have great power through the prayer, through the time of prayer. Satan opposes prayer. That's what we see here. They're on their way to prayer. He cares not for anyone but himself. It is of the utmost significance to emphasize what Paul and the others were about to engage in. They were about to engage in the ministry of prayer. I wrote down this question. Could it be that Satan does more to keep God's children from praying than from doing anything else? This church at Philippi needed to pray together. Why? Because they needed God. Anchor Baptist Church, we need to pray together. I wrote this thought down to myself. Prayer should lead the way every day. Prayer should lead the way every day. Does it lead your family? Does it lead your life? Prayer should lead the way every day. Opposition. Number one, opposition to prayer. Number two, opposition to preaching. Opposition to preaching. Look at verse 18, please. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, come out of her. And she came out, and he came out that hour. Isn't it interesting to see, though, at the end of verse 17, what this demon is saying? See, the demon is just borrowing this lady's body. I'm not trying to be, you know, unkind about it, but that's what he's doing. And in addition to that, he's borrowing her voice. So everybody knows in Philippi who this lady is. So follow me, okay? Because we might look at this and say, well, that's true. What this lady's saying. But here's everybody in town knows who this lady is, and they know what the problem is. And so they know that there's a demon possession in her, and the demon is speaking. And the demon is saying, these are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. What was this? This was an attempt. This was an attempt by the enemy to cause great confusion. Great confusion. There is no way that Paul and Silas wanted to be in hand with someone who was telling people's future. Does Satan know what the Bible says? What do you think? Yes, he does. So if Satan repeats the Bible, does that mean we're going to follow Satan? No, we're not. And that's exactly what's happening here. This demon is saying something that is true from the Bible, and that's why it can be confusing. You know, there's people that stand up behind pulpits just like this. In the name of God. And say things that some of it are right. But then they say so many other things that are contrary to the Bible. And you know what that is? It's very confusing. And to people that aren't grounded in the faith, and to people that aren't grounded in the Word of God, we can be pulled away by enticing words of man's wisdom. And this is why Paul says, I've had enough. Why? Because it's affecting the preaching ministry. You can imagine somebody, you're trying to do some street ministry and you're trying to preach the truth, and some wild-eyed lady, sorry, but she comes up and everybody in town knows what she's all about, and she comes up and starts just, in a way, mockingly, but saying the same thing. That's going to be very confusing. That's exactly what takes place here. Turn over to 2 Corinthians. Because let's be reminded of something. Satan is not in a red jumpsuit with a pitchfork and with a whatever kind of tale that is that people have given him, that's not Satan. That's confusion is what that is. Look what the Bible says. Let's look what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, opposition. The preaching. I want to warn you and lovingly, because so much we've been doing online in the last year is good, but I also want to say be careful. I had someone recently tell me, someone they've been listening to online, and I told them, I said, be careful. Because I know that name, and I know that he'll talk out of both sides of his mouth for his own benefit. I don't consider him to be a truthful man, preacher, for gain, I think, more than anything else, but that's my opinion. But his doctrine will tell you that too. So I said, you need to be very careful. Here's some other people. And if you're wondering about someone that you're listening to, that's why you have an under-shepherd. It's not because I know everything. I don't. But you might want to get some counsel about someone you're listening to because it might sound really good. But it may not be what you need. And I appreciate that. And it's not about me, but it's about the under-shepherd, that God blesses the under-shepherd to help all of us. So just be careful. Because 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, the Bible says, look at verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves, the first transformers were in the Bible, transforming themselves, yeah, into the apostles of Christ. Isn't that something? What do you want me to say? That's what I'll say. Right? What do you want to hear? No. By the way, that's not what we want from our pastor. That's not what we want from a missionary or a guest preacher or someone we're listening to. We don't want to hear what we want. We want to hear what we need. And we want our want to match what God wants for us. And no marvel. We've even got marvel in the Bible. Look at that. And no marvel. For Satan himself, look at this, the top, for Satan himself is transformed into, look at this, an angel of light. Not coming out of the corner dressed up in some red suit with a pitchfork and a big tail and, you know, fang teeth. No. He's coming out as an angel of light. He's coming out looking good. He's coming out looking so close even to truth. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, who is his there? Yeah, Satan. Satan has ministers, right? Wow. His ministers also be transformed. As the ministers of what? Righteousness? So Satan can make a minister who is anything but righteous, he can have them put on this magical outfit, and then all of a sudden, they're a minister of righteousness. But look what it says, whose end shall be according to their works. So let's not be deceived. Let's not be deceived today by someone who stands up and preaches and says whatever in the Bible. Let's be diligent. Let's be able to discern. So this was an attempt by Satan, though, as we go back to our text, to bring confusion. They're saying the same thing. But remember, Satan is an angel of notice about this opposition, by the way. Notice verse 18, it says, and this did she, what's the next two words? Many days. Okay? I'm going to say something that sounds really negative, but it's not meant to be negative. It's just meant to be what it says here. The opposition is never going to stop. until two things. One, you're in heaven. And now there's no more opposition. Right? I was going to say until you quit, but I don't even think the opposition will stop after you quit. So I'm just going to say there's only one way, and that's going to be when I'm in heaven with the Lord, or you're in heaven. Again, that's not meant to be negative. It's just meant to look at this and say, this is what Paul and Silas had to deal with many days, over and over and over again. It was continual. In fact, what I wrote in my notes is that it won't stop until Satan's in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. How many of you are looking forward to that day? Hallelujah. 1,000 years of Satan having no rule, no reign. Imagine what the world's going to be like for that millennial reign, and we will reign with him. And I'm looking forward to that day, but it hasn't come yet. This opposition is here, and it is real. But again, this isn't to say that we are defeated. No, we are not defeated. We have the same power that the Apostle Paul had here in this text of Scripture to be able to overcome whatever opposition comes our way. We can overcome. Satan is on the lookout for new ways to sidetrack you and sidetrack me from the will of God. He's looking for new ways to tear down and destroy. He's looking for new ways to accuse the brethren. Look, God's Word says He does it every day and every night. Revelation 12:10. He's the accuser of the brethren day and night, day and night, day and night, day and night. By the way, he is persistent. He doesn't want you to read your Bible. He doesn't want you to hear Bible preaching. He doesn't want you to study the Scriptures to show yourself approved unto God. He doesn't want you to memorize the Word of God so that it can change the way that you think, so that we will change the way that we live. He doesn't want that to take place, and so he's going to oppose that. Bible says it was so difficult. The opposition was so much. Look what verse 18 says about Paul, that he was grieved. Personally, I believe he was grieved in two ways. He was grieved by what this girl was doing, and he was grieved specifically for this girl. Doesn't it grieve your heart when you see someone running as far away and as fast as they can away from the love of God? Doesn't that grieve you? Doesn't that break your heart if you've got a family member or an acquaintance or someone that is away from the Lord? I don't mean that they're saved in a way. I'm saying they just are continuously going away. This lady was in dire shape. And it grieved the Apostle Paul. I want to just encourage us today that we would look on this world through the eyes of the shepherd, and as seeing so many that don't have a sheep without a shepherd, that we would see through the compassionate eyes of the Lord. How did they get the victory? The same way you can, the same way I can. Look what it says in verse 18. I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ. They had no power, but they had the power that God gave them. And I believe we have the power today to overcome the opposition. Immediately this girl, boom, set free. Set free by the power of the name of Jesus Christ. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The name of Jesus. By the way, you can use His name. Let's use His name. You know, so many people today use His name as a curse word. I hope the world is not using His name more than Christians. I often wonder if they might be. You know, something bad happens and just boom, they use Jesus' name. Why don't they switch over to Allah or somebody else? Confucius. You know? Why? Because there is only one true God. Not because of people using Him as a swear word, but I'm just saying, let's use His name. We can call on His name. We can call on His name for strength in the moment of weakness. We can call on His name for an answer to prayer. We can call on His name for the wisdom that only He can give us. Let's not let the world take the name of Jesus Christ in vain more than we do for His honor and glory. Not in vain, of course. Who did you get set free by? The name of Christ. How were you born again? The name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says about His name in Proverbs 18 and 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. What happens to it? The Bible says it's a strong tower. And then it says this, the righteous run into it. And then what? They're safe. Is that a place? No, it's a person. Again, God protected one of our young ladies on the way to church today. Wow. Could have been really bad. In the name of Jesus, Jesus had her protected. Amen? That goes for you and me. This isn't some charismatic thing I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to tell you there is power in the name of Jesus. Let's use His name not for our gain, not for our purpose, but for His glory and for the strength that only He can provide. How else are we going to overcome opposition? Well, I'm going to hold up my Faith Bible Institute diploma. I'm not mocking all those of us that have that. I have one and many of you have one. I'm not trying to mock it, okay? Well, I'm going to hold up this or I'm going to hold up that. No, we're going to hold up a name. The name of Jesus Christ. Well, that's why the opposition is continual. That's why the opposition is going to continue. But praise God, we have a purpose. We have a way to overcome that opposition. Have you been set free? Is heaven your eternal home? Oh, dear church, today, opposition to prayer, number one. Opposition to preaching. Lastly, opposition led to prison. The opposition led to prison. Verses 22 to 24. Not everyone was thankful. Think about this. Wouldn't you think everybody would be so happy for this dear lady? She's been set free. But as is the case in 2021, so was the case in Acts 16 and in Philippi, not everyone was happy about it. And especially those who were using her bondage to get gain. In fact, they cared more for the gain than they cared for this girl. You know where that philosophy comes from? The love of money. 1 Timothy 6:10, the love of money is the root of all evil. Remember another event? The little area of the Gadarenes, remember that? Jesus stepped off the ship, Mark chapter 5, stepped off the ship, and there's a wild man. This time it's a man, he's a wild man. He's cutting himself. Chains weren't working. Jesus sets him free and sends those demons into a herd of what? A herd of swine. A herd of pigs. Man, everybody. And the next thing you know, the Bible says he's sitting with Jesus. He's in his right mind. He's got clothes on finally too, by the way. The Bible says that. Don't miss the details. But they were upset. Who was upset? People who had those pigs. Why? Because they lost something of material. Love of money is the root of all evil. And there's people today that need to be set free. There's people today that need people to love them. Love them to Jesus. Today we have many in our society that are gaining wealth off of the addictions and off of the lives and the cruelty that is done to ladies and men and teenagers even, and people are gaining on that. It's the whole liquor industry today, from the pit of hell. And there are people today living in posh mansions as people are puking up their guts every Saturday and Sunday morning. And they're living in posh mansions, people that are gaining off of liquor and alcohol. That's exactly what's happening here in God's Word, and it's still happening today. And I could name it all if you wanted. We could name it all. And unfortunately, we live in a country today and other countries just like it that even say, okay, in marijuana now, just buy it up, eat it up, smoke it up, whatever they do with it. They eat it and chew it and everything else. And the government's gaining now. The love of money is the root of all evil. What a righteousness exalteth a nation. But sin, you know where it leads to? Prison every time. And I'm not talking about FRCC. Maybe this needs to go down a little bit. I'm talking about the prison that Satan puts us in and puts people in. And they're behind bars of life, and they feel that they can't get out of it. They've just got to get another shoot up of whatever. They got to smoke one more, drink one more. And people today gaining over that. Now to break your heart, we need to pray for revival. Revival in God's house. that it would spread, as we've read of different revivals. I don't know if you've read about them or not, to where it was such a revival in the church house that it spread through town and every bar closed. Can you imagine if that happened? It would have to be a revival, wouldn't it? But it can be. Cigarettes, just as bad. The legal marijuana industry. Hello. That's just still, it's funny, but it shouldn't be funny, right? The illegal drug industry, prostitution, gambling. Look at all of it. What's happening? Some people's pockets are getting pretty full, while others are suffering. And no care, it seems, at all. That's what we see here. The sad story of this damsel is being repeated over and over again today. I remember coming to Vancouver for the first time in January of 1997. I had read an article before coming here about the downtown East Side. But your eye has to affect your heart. You can read a newspaper article and it really, you know, doesn't tell everything, does it? And I wasn't looking for the sake of, you know, taking pictures or whatever. But I wanted to go and see this downtown East Side. And if you're from Vancouver, you know exactly what I'm talking about. That was 1997. I haven't driven downtown a lot in recent days, but the problem still exists. I can't remember. I can't get out of my mind, even from 1997, the vision of all that went on down there. You know, I think of the women. That's somebody's sister. That's somebody's daughter. That's somebody's aunt. That's somebody's granddaughter. And yet somebody's gaining off of that sinful lifestyle. It's being repeated over and over again today. But the solution is revival in my heart and in your heart that would spread to the world. Verses 19 and 20, it tells us that the owners of this damsel took aggressive action against Paul and Silas. The word drew there. You see the word drew. It means they dragged them. And drew them. They just grabbed the hold of them and drug them in there. Verse 20 and 21, the false accusations are made against them. Number one, they pointed them out as Jews. Remember where they are, Philippi, not many Jews, probably prejudice, no synagogue. So for them to say, hey, these guys are Jews, nobody liked Jews there. Then they pointed out that they were against the Roman culture. Now, what they didn't point out, and this will be talked about later, was, and Paul didn't speak up for whatever reason at this yet, but Paul was a Roman. I think later on we're going to learn about how that came into play. But they pointed these things out. They are given these accusations, and the leaders there are angered by it. And what happens to Paul and Silas? Look what it says in verse 22. And the multitude rose up together. The multitude rises up. Can you picture Paul and Silas? Multitude rises up around them. Maybe they thought, this is it. This is it. We're going to die. And the magistrates rent off their clothes, commanded to beat them. When they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. And they weren't just thrown into prison, but I don't have time, but the inner prison, I mean, it was the deepest, darkest, dirtiest, ugliest part of the prison you could be in, the inner prison. Opposition. I leave you with this quote from someone who's with the Lord, Pastor Adrian Rogers. He said this, "The doors of opportunity swing on the hinges of opposition." We leave the Bible, we leave the Bible lesson, we leave the preaching time right here, but if you know anything about Acts 16, you know what comes next. The doors of opportunity. So, Pastor Turner, what are you saying? Don't pray for opposition to leave? No, don't pray for that. Pray for opportunities to come through the doors, through the hinges of opposition. Pray for the power, pray for the strength to go through the opposition, knowing that through the opposition comes opportunity. And that's what Paul and Silas are going to discover in the inner prison. The next time we preach from this passage of Scripture, we see why opposition can be so powerful.